Well, there are many rites of passage on the journey from being a boy to being a man. Remember the first kiss, the first shave, and even the first pay packet. But one of those rarely remembered and often not documented ones is that moment when the decision was made to join the majority of the male gender by not attending a weekly church service.
Apart from the research, you only got to go to Mass on Sunday, and you can see that it is massively feminine in every way.
Father Desmond O'Donnell there, an oblate priest, registered psychologist, and researcher on church attendance in Ireland.
And the research that I've done anyway is that women are much more likely. I've done research on 704 young Irish third level educated men and women. And the weekly attendance for male was 41 and for female was 58. The fall-off is a bigger issue than a religious issue. People are not joining things today, and people are not attending things. That's the reason why there's a drop-off everywhere, in commitment, within marriage, within priesthood, going to Mass regularly. People have got a very high level of self-awareness and a sense of personal freedom today, not always used well or wisely.
American author and pastor David Murrow, in his book, Why Men Hate Going to Church, puts forward the case of Cliff. Cliff is a man's man. He's known as a hard worker, and he's a good provider to his wife and children. He's well respected by his neighbours. Well, now, Cliff drives a humongous four-wheel pickup. He loves the outdoors, loves a beer, and the occasional joke. But he doesn't go to church. Ask him why, and he'll offer you words like boring, irrelevant, and hypocrisy. But maybe, according to Murrow, the real reason Cliff doesn't go to church is that he's already practicing another religion. That religion, according to the author, is called masculinity. And Cliff practices his religion with a single-mindedness the Pharisees would envy. His work, his hobbies, his entertainment, everything is designed to prove to the world he is a man.
I think basically religion in the West has been superseded by the militarist religions, the militarist rituals.
That's theologian Mary Condren. She's National Director of the Institute for Feminism and Religion.
I think it has to do with the fact that, you know, religion is now seen, you know, that the church and state used to be in a very powerful partnership. But now the church is increasingly seen to be the weaker of those partners. It doesn't have the kind of power that it might have had in previous times, and therefore the church is feminized. And broadly speaking, only feminized men want to be part of it, which accounts for the preponderance of, you might say, gay men entering the ministry. Or, on the other hand, men who can uniquely embody a kind of transgender ambivalence, which is to say clerical celibates.
Well, here we are, only a few minutes into the item, and already we're getting bound up in stereotypes. But bear with these stereotypes for a moment longer, and consider the tough, breakfast roll-eating, earthy working guy who's building our economy but is noticeably absent from our churches. Also absent, the high achievers, alpha males, risk-takers and business visionaries. These rough-and-tumble men don't seem to fit in with the quiet, introspective gentlemen who populate our churches today. What a contrast to the men of the Bible. Think of Moses, David, Daniel, Peter and Paul. They were lions, not lambs. Take charge men who risked everything in the service of God. And they fought valiantly and even spilled blood. They spoke their minds and they stepped on the toes of religious people. Now, they were true leaders, tough guys, and they were feared in their communities. All these men had two things in common. They had an intense commitment to God and they weren't what you'd call saintly. Now, match that against today's figures, that 90% of men believe in God. 5 out of 6 of them here consider themselves Christian, but only 2 out of 6 attend church on any given Sunday.
And, of course, the great reality is he chose 12 men. 9 of them ran away. 1 of them sold him. 1 denied him. And 1 followed him at a distance. It's not exactly 10 out of 10. But the women followed him to the end, right to Calvary. An unusual reason why God became man, not a woman. He said it was maleness that needed redemption. Maleness was into power, status and money. God in his wisdom, decided that he would model a new male experience. And Jesus is the new male experience, combining the animus and the anima of Carl Jung, the male and the female elements, as a model for the world.
So, how did a faith founded by a man and his 12 male disciples become so popular with women, but anathema to men? The church of the first century was a magnet to men. Jesus' strong leadership, blunt honesty, and bold action mesmerized men. Today's church does not mesmerize. On mainland Europe, male participation is as low as 5% in some countries. For decades, those who noticed the gender gap have assumed that men were to blame for it. Well, sometimes they are. Many men intentionally reject their faith, and some men are proud and want to be their own god. Men hate to admit weakness or neediness. When men need spiritual sustenance, they go to the wilderness, the workplace, or maybe even the corner bar. We watch our heroes in the stadium. Is it maybe an issue of apathy or anger? Father O'Donnell again.
I think apathy would be more difficult to handle because there's no communication with the person who has apathy. Apatheia, the Greek word, it means it's like the other word, anomia, and drop out. And when you drop out, there's no communication. If a person is angry, we can do something about it. But we better listen to why they're angry.
In the Islamic world, men are publicly and unashamedly religious, often more so than women. Of the world's great religions, only Christianity has a consistent nagging shortage of male practitioners. Going back to the original research of Father O'Donnell, remember his results show that only 5% said that they had no experience of God, and only 4% said that God didn't influence their lives. Well, on that foundation, maybe it's not about men coming back to the church, but the church coming back to men.